Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, wait a second. This is kind of missions awareness, so buenos dias. I don't know, was it something I said or did? Actually, as you guys are making your way, I want to clarify something that Lori said. She said that I consider this my home church. I don't know why wives sometimes will speak on your behalf. I don't know. As a matter of fact, guys, and I think it's because of the years I was in the ghetto. I wasn't raised as a gangbanger. I wasn't. I don't know, God has a sense of humor. But after years being in the inner city ghetto of Los Angeles, I learned that authority and positions and love and knowledge and different things are earned. And I'm being on purpose by doing these things because that's what gangbangers do. I don't know. I never learn all the tricks. I just pretend that I have arthritis and then it looks cool. And then they do kind of a monkey gorilla thing. So I just did it and the teens always thought I was cool, but I never knew what they were saying. But you know what, guys? Yes, you are my home church. And I feel confident to say it. Even though I go on to speak in different churches, to call something home is something deep. And I can say that honestly, not to come and say something so, wow, you guys will support me more. You have earned it. And I'm going to demonstrate with this. But before we start, let's pray. Let's ask God to be here. Because He has to enable me to speak. It's been in a spiritual warfare. I'll just declare it. 2 weeks, really, into this cold kind of thing. Yesterday, I did a seminar for 8 hours and kind of thing. And I was like, this is crazy, but God allowed me to, and God will speak even on top of my hoarse voice today. But let the Holy Spirit speak today. Lord Jesus, our Father, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here already this morning, ready to speak to us about your love, not only for the nations, for the ends of the world, but your precious love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't love us for what we give you or what we do for you. Well, you love us for who we are, and that is amazing. You did, really, come and die for us. Be with us this morning and speak through this feeble servant to your people. In your name we pray and we all say, Amen. I was going to say why, my wife is back, I better watch what I say. No. about a home church. Everything is really cool. I love coming to Village. I remember coming here a couple of times before I touched the platform, the podium, so to speak. And it was that time was when Lori and I came and announced that we were getting married. And Lori was nervous and tried to open an envelope. And I'm nervous. I'm freaked out. I'm like, oh, boy. So she's trying to open it. And I'm like, well, and the winner is. So I know some of you guys remember that. And you're like, oh, Lori, we will pray for you, definitely. But that was a welcome. That's something that I learned about this village culture. And that is a great thing. That from the beginning I felt that, hey, wait a second, you can be yourself here. Yeah, I can be Hispanic. They're not going to call the migra on me, you know. But there's one thing I'm missing. And I wanted to start with this. Because to be a home church, to be somebody's authority, at least in the streets, and I believe in the church, is earned. And somebody that I miss here is Mr. M&M. I call it the Blue Santa Claus. And the M&M guy was a big guy that will give really big bear hugs that I met about 11 years ago when Village sent a group to come and do a carnival for one of our church plants. And that is Mr. M&M guy. And you guys will know who he is, right? John Nelson. I miss those. So some of you big guys, you better get to, you know, hug us. But you know what, guys? There's a legacy that is still here. So one day I'll go and hug the big Eminem guy there with wings, I bet, you know, and you guys too. But it's an amazing thing to see this. And I love this part here that says, his story can change yours. Isn't that true? But you know what? Your story can change theirs. Our story. So with that in mind, I have some books. I'm not selling books. I don't do that. I don't like selling books. I think if that was my career, I'll just starve, really. But today I want to talk about this, and I love it. And because I declare and I confess it, guys, and you are entitled with all of it, that is part of the package, being the home church. So you guys can pull my ears, like, behave, behave. You can also pat my back and say, keep it going. But we can also talk family business. You know, I love it here. We can laugh. I don't know. Ron, what have you done? Now they laugh even more. I remember with Pastor Leroy, they would laugh. And I was like, whoa, this is church. What happened? And I don't know. This is more giggly church. I think that's what I'll call it. You know, giggly church. It's great. Christians, we have life and life abundant. We should just laugh. I don't know. Adults, we get all busy. That, oh, yeah, I'm serious. This is spiritual. We're boring. But I just love to see how we live the life that Jesus has given us. And by the way, people say, oh, wow, you're just hitting on a certain group of people. No, I don't. I hit on everybody. All cultures, but especially the youth. Because the youth think they're so cool, they're all happy. But you know what, youth? Unless you have Jesus and you're living it, you're not happy. So today I'm talking, and I'll try to move really fast through the notes. But as we're family, I'm going to really touch some topics that I believe God says this is for Village today. And it's called the validity of the evidence. When I started preparing this sermon months ago, then it has certain topics, 3 points that I'll touch. It's in the second side of your pages. And sorry, I know it's long, and I'll try to keep it all together. But after I came to Sunday School and I saw that you guys were talking about evidence, then the word that I felt that God was saying is, speak about the validity. Pastor Ron has talked about the Dead Sea Scrolls and all what it's showing. And if we do not believe what is proved by science, we're nuts. But we have all this evidence. We have all these things. What do we do with it? And brothers and sisters, family, the Word of God is valid today as it has been for years. Hopefully towards the end, my voice already started to change a little bit and got a little better. I wish I could sing like Nick, and he does a great job. Nick, where are you? I want to steal you, Guatemala. Seriously. the Word of God is amazing. And there's a song, just a chorus I want to sing at the end, because it says, on Christ the rock I stand. All other ground is all other ground. So the evidence is just amazing. Now it's valid. Hebrews 4:12. And now I put some verses here, and I know I can just head in my notes, but I like to read from the Word of God because it's as powerful as it was and as it will be. So let's go through there. I want to have you go through so many verses, but the ones that I want you to go through, I want you to feel the power of what people have said for generations. People have died for the words in this book, so we better believe them. And the amazing thing is this is a book of love. Teenage girls, you want to know what love is? Guys, you want to know what being a real man and fighting is? Hey, there's a lot of battle stories here. Really graphic ones, so read the word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's living. It is alive today. Another one, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Parents, to want the best education for your children, this is it. That's it. It's useful for anything. Correcting, teaching, rebuking, and if the kids don't learn, smack them. It's better if it's a Bible with reference and all those things. In his book, Knowing God, and I have some books here, and I like to show them because I have found these treasures that I'm learning about. So I just want, I'll tell to the ends of the earth. So this is a great author. So J.I. Packer says, knowing about God is crucially important. Knowing about God is crucially important for the living of our lives. For the living of our lives. I know he's totally redundant by saying for the living of our lives, but what happens, some people are not really living the life. Some inner city people don't care about hell. They live through it. That's what the homies had told me. Like, I don't care about hell. What? Look what's happening to me. And I understand. Psalm 139 reminds us that how precious are your thoughts, oh God. How precious are. And sorry, I'm talking to adults too, but teenagers, God has amazing things for you. Guys and girls, God has a cute guy and a cute girl for you. I know people start like, oh, no, I wanted a spiritual. It's going to be beautiful to you. I know mom and dad are here, but you know what? I didn't start checking out Lori before. I didn't say like, wow, what a cute blonde. I saw her heart. But there got to be a point that I was like, whoa, baby, I'm marrying you soon. Sorry, but your daughter is beautiful. It is to me. And we are beautiful. And Psalm 139, the ones that work with you or are training you or discipling them, remind them to read that Psalm. It's beautiful. It reminds you that you are somebody. It is valid. What I love about Psalm 139 is this, that it says that we have been made wonderfully and fearfully. And my soul knows this very well. So I wrote something talking about people that don't know, people that know some, and we know fully well. Do you know fully well that you are important to God? I used to think you're just my resources. Just when I go on Sunday. No, you are beautiful to Him. Why is the Word of God valid? Well, I have three reasons. There's more. But the first one, it never expires. It doesn't have an expiration. Oh, sorry. Read before this date. The promises of God are not there for you. It is valid. Oh, well, this was only for the older people. Now today, you know, in the, you know, iPod kind of time. Hey, put the Bible in the iPod. It's still valid. It was so valid that people had shed their blood for it. It's alive. It never has expired. And a Bible reference for that is Matthew 24:35. The Word of God will never pass. Everything else will pass. This book has been the book that has been persecuted the most in the world. And it's still here. Second, it's living. And that's what we just read, Hebrews 4:12. It's alive. It's alive. You know, sounds like that, but and it's true. It is true. There's a section in the Bible that says, God says, because I love you. Our teens need to hear that. Because I love you. Not because you have good grades. Not because you went on a mission trip. Not because you gave something for Christmas. Not even because you respect me. And by the way, you know, I'm a parent. I'm a new parent. But I've been a youth pastor person for years. I started when I was 13, so it's been a lot of years. And when you tell your children that you love them, no matter what, there's something that's happening. Why is the word of God valid then? It never expires. It is living. It is true. They are ancient words. Do you remember that verse that said, that song, ancient words, that old hymn, ancient words never change, changing you and changing me. And I remember that we learned about the Bible, a little song about the Bible. The Bible is there for us. Well, the current conditions of our world, and I'll go a little faster, is depraved. It's a depraved world. It's sick. And sorry, there are some children here, but it is true, guys. You might wonder, why mom doesn't want me to go to this, or this and that. It is, you don't know. We don't have time to explain. Just obey. Please trust and obey. Because there's no other way. I got some resources. After all, I'm a teacher. But I got this magazine. I usually don't waste the money that you guys send to missions. And thank you for that. But I did waste $3. So this is really wasting money. Yeah. But I found this. They have it at Ross. Ralph's. They have it at whatever, different places. But I found it in, what is this place? Food for Less. Anyway. But it talks about this. Maybe you heard of it. That Eva Longoria, you know, had this marriage with Tony Parker from this San Antonio Spurs and so on and all this drama. And he says, it is worse than she knows. It is worse. Everything. And if you read this trash, and I bought it just so I use it to talk to parents and say, this is what our kids are reading. And you know why, no? Because if you go to the store, it's a kid's level. It's not for the adults. It's right there. And the kids are waiting, they want candy, pull these things, and what do they see inside? And out of respect, I will not show. But there's pornography. Because when they're talking about women's parts and things like that, and they're showing, this is attacking our world. This is attacking our children. The world has many diseases. And I'll reverse one. But tolerance is one. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, if it doesn't affect me, it's okay with them. Why in the United States of America, and it's happening in Guatemala too, because Guatemala copies almost everything America does, and some things are good and some things are not. But tolerance, what used to be called sin, now it's mistakes or different lifestyles. And Lord said, sin is sin. I abhor sin. Adultery is sin. But Lori wasn't there for me in my trips to the villages, so I just ended up with the secretary, but she's Christian too. That is disgusting and it's sinful. We just heard a story of a renowned pastor here in the States that received a word of God that said, leave your wife because you made a mistake earlier. And he left his wife and his 3 children, grown children, after 20-something years. That is not God. Because God will not contradict himself. Because this word is valid. There's another one that I will not touch a lot, but it's called the Kinsey Syndrome. Some of you might know about Alfred Kinsey and his legacy. And his legacy is, he is the father of the sexuality, of sexual education. That's actually, as a matter of fact, being taught even in Christian schools. Because Scholastic, that is a major company that produces materials for the world, also has a Christian version. It just says Christian version. But it's the same principle. And just because they are children, I will not get into details. You can ask me more. And I have an amazing video that talks about Alfred Kinsey. And the agenda that this man brought to the United States and Guatemala is imitating it so much. It's a sick world. What about Thanksgiving? It wasn't about Thanksgiving. I saw it was great and I love eating my mother-in-law's green bean casserole, and he was great. But you know what? To the world, it becomes all about Black Friday. Who cares about Thanksgiving? Not even the game. People are just like, I gotta go to the sale. There's no Thanksgiving. We lost that. I love to see the Snoopy cartoon where he talked about the Mayflower and all of this. It was great. But that's the exception now. Five secrets your world won't tell you. I love Reader's Digest. It's great. I love that. In Spanish, called Selecciones. So I love that. And they have this new section that they have shown lately. Anybody reads Reader's Digest? Okay. It says, 50 secrets your pilot won't tell you. And I was reading this before. No, I'm sorry. After I came, I was like, I'm not going back. I'm going by land or something. Five secrets your world won't tell you. Compromising our will brings destruction. Compromising. Well, I don't want to do that, but all my friends do it, so you're compromising. It will bring destruction. God is holy. And he said, be holy, for I am holy. Delay obedience is disobedience. When your children say, well, I'll do it later, Mom, that is disobedience. So parents, I'm learning that now, but when the kid says, well, okay, I'll do it later, or yeah, why? Why? There's no why. Just do it. Fraternizing with the world brings condemnation. We were called to be holy. That in the Greek forms and all whatever, Hebrew, all of this, means separated. We should not look like the world. We should look different. We should. One thing I learned after being pastor for years, I don't have to have tattoos and earrings and all of that. And I'm not so against that, but I don't need to have that to be their pastor. I just need to care. And they don't even care if I'm short or tall or nothing. They just care I'm real. We cannot do, that's number four. We cannot do everything. We can't. We're not cultured. Oh, yes, we can. We have steps to this, steps to that, and read so you have success. No, we cannot do everything. We need to depend on him. I have little kids. David is 4, and David thinks he can do anything. So he climbs on things, and he's always there, and I can do it. I got it in control. Yeah, everything in control, like remote control, the TV, everything is on the floor. He doesn't have it under control, and we think that. We need to depend on him. Did you come today to ask him, Lord, what should I do today? Have you? Number 5, we have power to fight back. And I read also in Reader's Digest that if we have all this consumer fighting back, we should. In Los Angeles, a few months ago, there's this big, I think it's called rave, or some big party that happened in Coliseum. It was disgusting. It's free anything, free drugs, free all of this. And I'm like, what? How is the police allowing it? Thousands of teenagers. It's happening again. So yesterday, I challenged my Angelinos compadres to go and, as Christians, go pray against that. We have the power. The customer's revenge. And one of these mornings, just wrapping up soon this part, I was praying, and I love... My in-laws have a view of their garden, and the sprinkler heads were going off, all of this. And actually, that's the same sound we used to call dogs in Guatemala. So, and dogs come. You know? So just, and they come. It is true. And that sprinkler heads were all going, except one that was... Don't you have those problems? And one of the reasons is because something is blocking and the water doesn't go. And I was thinking, and I'm like, oh, okay, later when he wakes up or something, we'll see. But you know what happens? Sometimes we don't receive blessings in certain areas because we have something that is blocking that blessing from God. Oh, I wish I could be a person that everybody likes. Well, you have a rotten attitude and nobody will like you. I'm serious.
But nobody likes to be with me.
Hello?
Nobody comes to my parties.
Do you ever do parties?
No, but I'll do it if people will come.
I love watering. If there's a job I can do besides photography, but even bigger than photography, is to get a hose. I love doing that. I just do. I'm
weird. I know.
The funny thing is I'm weird in English and in Espanol. So. But I love it. But I discovered why. Two reasons. Well, maybe three. One is I can be by myself. Because it's one hose. Get out of here. I think if I was a fireman, I would say, everybody, move, move, move. I'm doing it by myself. That's why I'm missionary. But another one is, I get an amazing time with God. And I tap into what He does. He spreads life. I love watering with a hose. And not with the ch-ch-ch, with the real thing. Shh, my thumb does the thing. I love it. Because sometimes we don't see, and sorry, but Dad could not have seen that his sprinklers were not working unless he's there watching it. And I don't think Dad is going to wake up at 5 in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to see if it's working. But it just happened that I was there. But sometimes we have those weeds that are blocking the blessing from God because we're not taking on the validity of Word of God. We're not. So guess what? Get out your hose and ask God to bless you. And the areas where water, I wonder why is this patch of grass not getting as well as the other ones. Get your hose, your spiritual hose. And 2 Timothy 2, 25-26 says, and we are just right there, so I will read it. God wants us to come to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. If we're not with God, we're with the devil. That's how it is. Larry King said, I never learned anything while I was talking. That's Larry King, and he does a lot of talking. It is true. We sometimes need to listen. Guys, I don't know all about parenting. Seriously. I don't. A few things here and there, and God has been so gracious that we have learned some valuable things early in our parenting. But sometimes I just want to kill the little three ones. Seriously. But I love them so much too. And one thing I've seen, especially working with teenagers, and sorry, I'm going to make this window out of my sermon. Who are parents of teenagers? Raise your hand really well, please. I'll pray for you, but... And sorry to the rest, but... And I forgot who is who, but... But you know what, guys? Hang in there. And if they have heard you, because... And sorry, this is a teenage language. But those little punks think they know it all. And they have sent mean things to you. And they have said, oh, yes, you are all. You because you don't care. You, and it hurts. Guess what? When they are 39, they will come back and thank you. Because I was that disrespectful teenager that yelled to my aunt many times. And I told her she was stupid. I told her she didn't know anything. And today I wish she could see that what she did, this something. I'm not all that great, but I made it out. So hang in there. And I'm sorry if they had disrespected you. I'm sorry they had put you down. But hang in there. Because the Bible is so valid and it says, train a child the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart. There are three, yes, and this is wrapping up fast, but these are three areas that I see the devil attacking. And that's why I'm going to the ends of the earth. And by the way, the ends of the earth is this too. Because I was a missionary from third world country, Guatemala, to the United States to set captives free in the inner city of Los Angeles. Because this is a mission field. So guess what? This is someone else's end of the earth. So when you do those things and you're jumping over water to pass those gifts to families, and you look down like, wow, it's raining a lot and we're passing gifts, you are doing the Great Commission. So I see three areas. One is Christian education. Christian education is being attacked. I was a Christian teacher a teacher at a Christian school for many years with my wife, and we saw it. We saw the pain and destruction, and that the devil will bring and attack those schools because he hates Christian education, whether at a school or an institution or at home. He hates it. And what does he bring? He brings the topics about evolution. The earth is not as old as it's being portrayed in Christian books. And tolerance. Yeah, anything goes in the schools except when you say Jesus. And in America, we cry out, oh, God, how come you're not in our schools anymore? And God says, you don't allow me in there. It's funny because my relatives in Guatemala say, oh, but there's not so much violence here. It's in the States. Here in Guatemala, you don't hear that they go into high school and shoot everybody. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't happen here. They're like, see? Yeah, they don't have to go into school. They just hop in the regular public transportation bus and they shoot everybody. And that really happens. Second is the church. I'm sorry, guys. Newsflash. You are, at least to me, the second most hated thing, the Church of Christ. Now, you are saying, no, well, I think that's the first, but I'll explain why. In Matthew 16:18, that I'll quickly read to you. Matthew 16:18, that you have it there, says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Okay, and I know there's different interpretation that Jesus was talking about the rock of Caesarea Philippi where they were talking, that the confession of Peter or Peter himself. We'll talk about that another day. But this is the point. And the gates of Hades, of hell, will not overcome it. Well, that's nice. We always said it. But you know what is that telling? That the church is not to retreat into his fortress. It's saying, the church, we go and pound on the devil's gates and we bring those captives out. This Christmas, there are many captives. Christmas is the season where more people commit suicide. You be Jesus and go get somebody out. Bring a cookie platter. Bring a gift over the rain. Let's get him out. One thing that always haunts me, and I wasn't even born at that time, is the Holocaust. Because I feel that I went through a Holocaust, trapped by the devil, and I got out of the concentration camp the devil had. And I got out and... wait a second, I'm out. Not the German devils killing me. Wait. My people are there. My people. And guess what? My people are not Guatemalans anymore. Because, sadly, I don't belong there anymore. I just don't. My Spanish got all mixed up. And one day I'm teaching at the Bible University Spanish class, and the students start talking. And they don't talk, they're adults. And they start like nodding. So I'm like, excuse me, I'm not making sense. And they're like, oh, really? Sorry. What did I say? What am I doing? Oh, you're speaking in English. I was like, oh. True story. So they laugh at me. And when I leave worship, that I have better voice, they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, God, whatever. They make fun of me. It's all okay. I make fun of them, too. Actually, they make a lot more fun now because we're working on the immigration situation. They're like, yeah, we'll deport you backwards. So, the church. Why is the church being attacked by the devil? Why is it hated? And what does he bring? He brings division and destruction from his purpose. I'm sorry that I'm going to say it like this, and I respect you and I love you. But that little passing gifts over the rain that you're going to do, the home away thing, the devil hates it, and he's going to do anything to stop you. Guess what? Get together with other Christians here, and let's get the devil. Let's get him, and let's give more this year. And sorry, you said 5. Let's do 10 houses. And I'm still here. I can help somehow. I don't know. Seriously. Because we used to die together in the Roman Colosseums. And then we fight over, oh, they didn't give me the right mic or the right podium. Our main purpose is discipleship. It's caring. That is caring. What you guys are doing is amazing. It's caring. You don't have to go to Guatemala to care. Do it here. But it's good to use other countries. But do it here. I believe the devil will allow us to win 100 people, But if He allows us, and if we discover our full potential, it will be 100,000 people. So sometimes we're happy with, oh, we got 100 people, that's great. Tap into God's powers. Get out your hosts and bless beyond. And that first I will say is a Christian family. And I'll give you a reference, just read it, it's beautiful. But Deuteronomy 6 talks about how it is at home that the children are trained. I was a Christian educator for years. And I really wasn't in the job of discipleship. I disciple people, but that was not my job. That is the parents. Happy, where are you? This is not going to make you happy. You're a great man. Like you. You are not the true youth pastor of all the teens here. The parents are. So you like the guy, work with him. Because sometimes it's really lonely and it's really hard. I know it. But you know what I love also about this guy now? He's got an amazing helper. And he's got a kiddo. And when the youth pastor gets a kiddo, the youth pastor improves. The influences of the world shape our children. The influences of the world. The devil is not scared of coming through that door. He will come in. He will come in Ron's passenger side in the car. I'm not saying that Susie's a devil, but he will. The devil is not afraid of the church. The only thing he's afraid is Jesus' blood. But he will come here in the worship and distract us. So he will infiltrate. According to Ted Tripp, in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, that is here. It's an excellent book. If you have it, you know. If not, here it is so you can take information. But he says that it will shape our children. So let's be the gatekeepers, especially us men. We are the men. We have the sword. We fight for our family. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And he's telling Christians, do not conform anymore. I don't know who of you celebrated Halloween, but tell the truth, Halloween is not godly. Because it talks about a couple of things that God doesn't really like. Witchcraft. Witches are not God's thing. He says he hates witchcraft. We're family. And sometimes in family, you're getting chose nerves, and I am getting. But in my house, we will not celebrate Halloween. We'll eat pumpkins and do a lot of stuff and pumpkin fight and whatever. But certain things we will separate from the world. Because the word of God is valid. It's alive. It is true. Vadi Vakam Jr., in his book, Family Driven Faith, excellent book. Some people think it's all about homeschooling. No, it's not about homeschooling. It's about doing what it takes to raise sons and daughters who walk with God. Whatever it takes. What is the price that you're willing to pay for your children's holiness, for your children's life purpose? What is it? And some of you guys that, I'm not saying homeschoolers, some of you guys, even in Christian schools or whatever, that are taking those bullets and are fighting, keep it going. What are the results? Well, disconnection. There's a disconnection in the family. You don't know the kids. The number one complaint that teenagers, after working with thousands of teenagers in Guatemala, Mexico, the United States, it's not that my parents are too old, my parents are too boring, my parents don't buy me everything. The first complaint, the main complaint, the number one, la uno, is they don't spend time with me. My dad doesn't have the right to tell me anything. I don't know him. And I know that's a harsh statement because we work hard for our children and our gun, and me too. But guess what? They are first ministry. I've been reading through Judges and Kings and Samuel, and it's sad to see that most of God's leaders have won the world but lost their children. I will try as much as I can, but over my dead body, I'm going to lose my children for reaching out Guatemalan kids. If I will write a book, I will entitle it The Forgotten Mission Field. The Forgotten Mission Field. Our family. It's not Africa. It's not Guatemala. It's our family. I want to ask a quick question. I like to give away stuff. I think if I was a little fatter and had a beard, I'll be Santa Claus. But, I want a parent, a dad, that has gone into dates with his daughter and is trying to love her and try to bless her and spend time with her to get up. Or raise your hand. Father. Is there a father that has done that? Okay. Here's about quick. Well, I forgot your name.
Terry.
Okay, here's something for you. It's called Girl's Passage, Father's Duty. I'm sorry, can you please pass it? Excellent book. As you're doing it, read it, pass it along. It's great. And don't you love just loving your daughter? By the way, is that your daughter there? And by the way, is that a lady that you have prayed for many years and you're still guarding?
Before she was born.
So, when are you going to stop loving her and guarding her?
Never.
Excellent. But there will be a man that will take your spot. So, I know. So, you just let anybody come in and just take it, right?
Ask him.
I love it. No, it will not happen. And over Terry's dead body, any punk will come and take his spot. Because that girl is so precious. And we're giving our children to the world. It is not happening anymore. Amen. Back to the basics. Some of us like basketball, soccer, we know the basics. You want to score a basket, you got to bounce well and throw it. Kids want to do backwards flips and all that. And it's like, just learn how to shoot forward first. Basics. What are the basics? Daniel 9:4 says, repent. Oh God, we have sinned. Forgive our nations. Let's come before God and say, please, we have sinned. If your children are not walking with God, parents, there's something that has been done wrong. I see the days that my kids are losing it. It's because I have not done right. So, let's repent as family. I am the one. I am the boss in my family. And not because I'm the macho Hispanic. It's because the Bible says I am. And I am the one that says the last word. And you know, and it's not, oh, yes, Lori. It is, no, sweetie, this is what we'll do. I believe this is what we'll do. It's great. The challenge is this. I am the one who comes before God and has many sleepless nights thinking, where am I taking my wife? How am I going to provide for this? But I had to run to the big boss. But I'm the gatekeeper. But I had to come and repent sometimes and say, Lord, we have sinned. Dads, let's do that. Because we're not less of a man. We're more. The other one, Psalm 5:1-7. Oh, listen to God, to my prayer in the morning. Oh, God, in this morning, let's search for God. Let's seek God as families. When was the last time you had a family devotional? Oh, the kids hate it. Oh, the kids hate my hymns. Put the hymns. Put them. Oh, but they think they just want the wrong thing. Cutlass and without cuts and all the cuts, whatever, I know. When they are 39, they will remember those old hymns. And all of a sudden they will be, on Christ the solid rock is still. Because when they're in hospitals carrying their little baby girl, when Elizabeth stayed in the ICU after she was born, I was holding her. All hymns will come. Play on your hymns. Dad, turn that off. Leave it on. Put it louder. Because those hymns are ancient words that will stay. Last one. Proverbs 3:4-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he... Anybody knows it? Oh, Pastor Ron, did you know? And he will give you success. You want success? That's how it is. Depend on God as a family. Romans 10:17, I will leave it there. But this, it's called Pasos Practicos. As I have challenged you, as I have shown you, you know, what is God's heart. And I know this is stuff you know, but you just need to be reminded. There's some practical steps. Ephesians 2:10, and that I want you to read if you have it. So let's turn to that really quick. And as you're turning to that, I learned that it's funny that the pastor's preachers say, in conclusion, in my last point, and there's half an hour after. Well, I'll keep it short. But Ephesians 2:10, and when you have it, please say amen. I'm Hispanic, kind of American too. Somewhere there, I'm black too, you know. Yeah, preacher, brother. I don't know. So I like people talking. And but so if you have it, when you have Ephesians 2:10, say amen.
You're not making it to South Central, right?
Ephesians 2:10 is beautiful. And if your children take something, let them take this. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." That's identity. Your kids know that. They can make it into the world. They are God's workmanship. God took time to make them. Created in Christ to do good works. Created in Christ again. That's identity again. Who are you? Who's your daddy? Christ. Created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What has God prepared your little family to do? I don't know, where's Coco? Coco is right there, okay. And I just love to hear that Eric is blossoming. And is, you know, leading worship and doing all this, playing soccer. I'm sorry I put you in the spotlight, but it's the one that I remember right now. But that's great. That is a bigger achievement than a high school diploma. And that coming from an educator. Because he is in the good works that God prepared for him to do. So, practical steps. Pasos practicos. Identify what you guys can do as a family. Host a cookie party, something. For this Christmas, it's a great excuse. Make tons of cookies with your kids. They will come out ugly. They're not round, they're ovals or squares or blobs. But do something. Your family has the God-given capacity to do something. The masses, we have something. I'm still discovering different things, but I don't know. We're messy. We don't have a clean house. We embrace that we have a happy house with tons of things everywhere. So we walk like this a lot because cars. It's hard. Or I have this friend that she hosted a Christmas party. And what she told her friends is, don't bring cookies, don't bring things. I'll provide all those things. Bring me a wrapped, brand new gift. Toy. So her friends are like, what? Oh, okay. She got 100 toys that she donated to a World Impact, where I used to work, toy store. One girl, Christine. One girl, she was single then, a couple years ago. She put together 100 toys to give in America's inner cities. Can you imagine your family? And have your guests to bring toys. That's one. Second, or B, you can say, we always help. There's a purpose. What is the purpose of your family? Well, just to be here, take space. No, there's a God-given purpose. That God gave you that woman. And that woman is not just any girl you ended up with. Because the Bible says that money and house come from the parents. But the wife is a gift from the Lord. So God orchestrated that. I can see it when my wife. There are areas where she comes, brings the strength. And my children, they are arrows that we're sharpening. And it's hard because sometimes we get caught in sharpening. But those are arrows in our quiver to shoot against Satan. And third, let's do something with your family. Choose something. Maybe choose something here, this home. Just take things. Or even, well, I know I got to speak of what's in my heart. Oh, that end of the earth where I love and I'm giving my life to that. Seriously. Well, go to the info table. Look at the catalog. And you have it there. And I made the catalog. It's not all that great, but I mean, it kind of proves this point. And I have amazing things there. I mean, there are amazing things there. But to me, one of the most dear ones, I know it sounds girly, but I'll be girly for his cause. It doesn't matter. It's a daughter tea party. I know, I'm a guy. I shouldn't do a tea party. I should do being barbecue. But I've seen how hundreds of moms and daughters have come together at a tea party, at a silly tea party, and have come and said, this is what I wanted to hear. And moms and grandmas crying, saying, I wish I would have heard that 30 years ago, that I was a princess of Jesus. I've seen it. And it's coming to Guatemala near you. There are amazing things. Sure, we need tires for our van. We're beating up our van. Remember I told you to pray for our van, our 7-passenger van? It is not a 7-passenger van. It's whatever amount that fits van. So it's falling apart. It needs tires. It needs bodywork. It needs a new driver. That's okay. God will provide for that. But it's something that's dear to me is that. Please do. Ladies, I would just love that. I know it's funny. And I do more in the tea party than my wife, but I'll be a clown for Jesus. Whatever it takes to serve him with everything. As a family, I would like to finish with this. You're set by families, right? Kind of. Well, if not, then still. But what about, I think some of my voice came back. I'm not a great singer, so you guys wanted to help me. So please stand. And really, in closing, let's declare that validity of the word. The word that says that family is so important. The word that says, sure, there's ends of the earth, but they're right here. Sing with me. In Christ the solid, no other. Why don't you declare that to principalities and say, yes, in Christ, the solid rock, that rock that has given us this word, this book of life, all other things, even good things, are sinking sand. Yes, Lord Jesus, we declare that in you. Yes, in Christ, the solid rock I stand. Sing with me. Don't leave me alone. Declare, say, yes in Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes in Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lord Jesus, thank you for that word that through generations have proved your love for us. Thank you for our Jeremiah 29:11 that says that you have plans to prosper us and to give us a future. But also that you believe so much in us that you have left us in the world, not to be part, not to be conformed. You have left us here to be your light, to be the ones that have heard your story, that has changed ours, and that with our story, we will change the world. And we take that last part of the verse that says, sure, in the world you have left us, but take heart. I'll be with you forever. In Christ we pray, and we praise you. Amen.